Joanne? Dear, can I be honest with you? Since we first crossed paths, I have had many, many reasons to question your seriousness. Just countless examples of stupidity. But this one? This might just take the cake. After everything we've done, years of work to get here, you're actually suggesting that we participate in this?
The console is dead, Clara. Our fleet? Exposed. Whatever plan the two of you cooked up, it isn't working. And this is how they pit everyone against us. Even if we could have won a war before, this is how we would lose.
Oh, and what's your proposal then? Show up with our tail between our legs? Apologize for the big misunderstanding? Say that everything they did in the past, everything they're still doing, all of that is forgiven because we got caught trying to defend ourselves?
Are you really so afraid of a meeting, Clara?
Oh, First Minister, I wasn't...
I apologize, of course, for being late. There were some complications. Clara, I believe you were explaining that it would be idiotic for us to attend a peace summit hosted by the agents of our enemies when it is we who have the most to lose and they who have the most to gain.
Well, yes. You disagree, First Minister?
No, not entirely. But even if the deck is stacked against us, there might still be a way to win the game, provided we have the right card up our sleeve.
Is that?
Yes. Yes, he is. Welcome to World's Way, an actual play storytelling podcast. I am your game master, John Ossop, and here with me, we've got Haley Daria.
Hello.
Lauren Wilbanks.
Live, laugh, love.
Thank you. Michael Morales.
Caffeine is a human right.
And Moshtara.
Hey.
So, last episode, we saw the four of you announce that the Minerva Project plans to host a peace summit on Ascension Station, intended to stop the breaches of the armistice and also move the galaxy away from war. But at the end of that episode, Arno noticed a crowd forming around the body of Lillian Gale, the Aventine consul to Ascension Station. At the same time, Nasir received a note from his blackmailer in the library. So what I want to know now is, where do we pick up next? Do we see the four of you meeting after these discoveries? Or if not, what else are you up to?
I mean, I assume Arno is going to inform us, and then we need to go into an emergency war room session, would be my take.
And maybe just to put the timeline on this, I think that when you found the body of Lillian Gale, maybe that was... You know, the events that transpired up to that occurred a little bit after the press conference where you announced the event. And so I think there is still some time before you'd expect any delegates to arrive on the station. But, you know, it's kind of in the middle of that process.
Right.
So I think maybe, you know, we see you all kind of arriving or heading to the Minerva Project headquarters. Are you kind of in the briefing room there where we've seen your sort of missions get assigned? Or are you on the Valiant? Where do we see all of you meeting?
I think we're in the briefing room.
Okay. I think maybe then it's like, oh, you have, you know, the sort of news up on the screen there. We see people checking things on their slate as they're walking in. And I think you're seeing there's initial reports coming in that a senior Aventine diplomat has been found dead on Ascension. And that, well, no cause of death has yet been established, that the station authorities are investigating.
Hey, out of curiosity, because we've never really established this, what does that mean? Like, who are the station authorities or who has authority over an investigation like this on Ascension?
So I think part of the armistice itself was that Ascension Station would be established as a neutral hub in the Verge and sort of maintain its political independence. And because of that, I think that the station's administrators and security are probably selected by agreement to the parties in the armistice. Maybe there was only kind of one person named and that occurred as part of those initial negotiations. But I think that the station's been kind of self-sustaining and there are very limited administrators and security that sort of keep it running.
Got it.
I think if you want to know, like, if you have other questions about what that looks like or what their experience levels might be, you know, maybe that's a thing that you could share expertise on.
Yeah. I want to know if these are, if any of the people currently administering security on Ascension Station are veterans of the war and which side they fought on, or if I would know of any of them.
Ooh.
Interesting. Do you have like a playbook move that would do more than that? I don't know if you do, because I think it's only when you're interacting with like an NPC that War Eternal would apply, but I don't know if you have anything else that could help you here.
Yeah, let me see really quickly. No, I don't have anything that helps out. Oh man, if I had taken Wardens.
All right. Well, that's okay. Go ahead and so I think it's plus calculating, I believe. So go ahead and give me that roll and we'll see what happens.
That's a 7.
Okay.
Success.
So mixed success on a 7 to 9, you can ask a question and I'll give you an interesting answer, but it's up to you to make it useful.
Okay. I think my previous question still applies. I want to know if there are any war veterans in the administration of this security detail.
So I think that to answer your question generally about, oh, were there veterans of the war involved? I think the answer has to be generally no, because if the point of the sort of station administration is to maintain some semblance of political neutrality, or at least be somebody that's agreeable to Earth, Aventine, and the Verge as part of the armistice, right? Or at least Earth and Aventine, since they were the kind of dominant force there. I don't know if anyone that fought on either side would have the support to run Ascension. That said, I think maybe when you were at the scene, right, and you saw the security sort of cordoning off the area around Lily and Gale, maybe you clocked their faces and are kind of looking them up on your slate, right? Maybe you, despite your change in relationship to FSOC, you still have access to the fleet systems. And I think you're trying to look up records of the individuals whose faces you clocked at the scene. And you see that one of them, who you believe to be the lead detective named Kenzie Hooper, was actually injured during the war. But what I want to know is, and maybe I'll turn this over to the group, what planet do you think that she was from in the Verge that would have been on neither side during the war? Or where at least there was a faction there that was on neither side that she might have been injured as part of.
I mean, I think Consus is a good choice for not on either side of the war, because we've seen it in both, in like sort of like company hands, essentially, like lawless hands.
I really like that.
I like that too. And I think maybe there were, during the war is a time of instability, right? And there may have been many factions vying for control or independence on Consus. And I think that as part of that, you see that she was injured during the war.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Up to you to make it useful.
Yeah. I think as you see Arno walk into the briefing room, he has his slate open. And what he's looking for is the names of all of the other consuls on Ascension Station to see if any of their names appear on the news, if there are any hits there on them or any other high profile individuals on Ascension.
Yeah. I think you're, you know, maybe you're seeing reaction stories. You're definitely not seeing anything else about deaths or other injuries. I think that that would kind of jump to the top of the news feed. But I think right now you're just seeing, you know, some people have issued statements of concern or expressed their sympathies to Aventine for the loss. But so far, you've not seen anything that indicates that there's a sort of mass threat.
Okay. Is everybody else there?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I'll come up to the desk in the briefing room, and the first thing that I'm going to do is pull up the information that I collected from Scion onto my slate, and I'm going to do my little flick motion to share the information from my slate to everybody else's, and I'm going to share, Scion responded, this is what I received at the drop site. As I was leaving, I came across the crime scene where Lillian Gale's body was found. I didn't want to take any chances that these two incidents were unrelated, and so I called you all here. Thank you for responding so quickly.
I think Leela's face is going to have immediate, like, concern, and her brow is going to be a little furrowed, and I think she's going to turn to Nasir and say, if Lillian Gale is dead, what does that mean for the peace conference?
It's possible but unlikely that Lillian Gale would have been the delegate from Aventine anyway. Frankly, what it means is, and I will start like throwing up our classic sentiment analysis stuff to see like what reporting looks like and like what the reports are saying. And I'm essentially like looking for like, are they calling this foul play? Is it being mentioned in reference to the peace conference? And like, who are they blaming? Like, those are like the three big things that I'm looking at.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Mo. I think Mara's most interested in how Aventine is responding to this.
I also, while I'm doing that, send a message to Mateo that just says, are you all right?
Okay.
He was the vice consulate like a month ago.
Well, maybe I'll just ask, what are you trying to get from the your review of the sentiment analysis? I think, you know, I have answers to those questions. I think that would be obvious just from looking. But if you're trying to sort of uncover something more about the situation, then I might want you to roll scope it out in connection with this.
I'm not trying to discover anything deep. Okay. Nasir does not think this is a big deal insofar as like there was a death of a major figure.
But yeah.
Like, this does not feel to Nasir in any way tied to anything we were doing.
Yeah.
There's like no evidence of that. So like, he is looking for evidence, either A, any indication that it is tied to those things legitimately, and he should up his how much he cares, or two, any indication that someone is tying it to us in a way that could hurt our actual efforts.
I see. Okay, well, I think if you're not doing a sort of deep dive into this and you're just kind of looking for the initial reactions, what you're seeing is a lot of confusion about the situation. I think especially since there hasn't been any attribution yet that this death is any sort of foul play, I think what you're seeing are mostly either reactions of concern about what this means for the peace conference and whether this is going to disrupt the proceedings. And also, I think you're seeing initial, you know, maybe I'll say like conspiracy theories popping up to fill the vacuum. And I think that's a combination of this was something designed to stop the peace conference from happening. And then on the other hand, and maybe you're seeing a lot of this from Aventine or more Aventine sympathetic parts of the Verge, that this was the work of the Republic trying to disrupt Aventine's hand before that occurred. But I think that these are all on the fringe and you're not necessarily seeing this any sort of popular narrative take place yet. I think, again, it's mostly just that there's a vacuum of information right now.
Then I think as we're seeing this, I'm drafting up a press release to the consul's family and the consulate as a whole, issuing our condolences on behalf of the Minerva Project.
Yeah.
But also announcing that there will be a memorial service, a brief memorial service at the Peace Summit.
Okay.
That all are welcome to, sort of subtly putting to bed the idea that this will shut down the Peace Summit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then maybe sort of emphasizing her role as a diplomat and that that's, you know, sort of important for the efforts to keep the peace.
Yes. Okay. And as soon as it's drafted, I'll just sort of show it to my three colleagues and then hit send. The goal being to get out ahead of like any other story.
I think Leela is going to kind of seeing that, okay, we've addressed the immediate concern, which was we don't want this, or at least we've started to address the immediate concern, which is we don't want this to shut down the peace conference. I think the next concern is, or I think she's going to say, I mean, this could be foul play, right? Even if it's not. And I think her mind is kind of racing a bit. She's going to say, depending on who is found responsible, this could still completely sidetrack the summit. We need to figure out what's going on there. Who are they investigating? Who are they suspecting?
I think that this is a major distraction. My heart goes out to the consul's family and the consulate as a whole, and I agree that there's the potential to derail us, but we need to focus on the delegates who are coming and the plan for what we do next. Also, we've discussed before that we might need to take aggressive action on Aventine's moon. I don't think that what happened to the consul, regrettable as it is, and disruptive as it is anything that we need to concern ourselves with. It will only slow us down.
I think as this conversation's been happening, Arno's sort of been staring past the information on the slates and not really looking at anything. And he looks over at Nasir and says, the consul and the vice consul are now gone. Even if this isn't a play to replace them, it does make the consulate less effective as a whole. Kyrus is hurt right now. This is an opportunity for someone or something to cause some disruption.
I agree, but it's also possible that Aiden Kyrus was upset about how the Minerva Project had revealed information about what has been happening, Aventine had been doing in the Verge, and called a peace summit all under Lillian Gale's nose. The Republic bombed its own settlements to gain advantage over Aventine. It's not out of the question that Aiden Kyrus had one ineffective consul killed because she was failing to do what he needed.
Out of the question? I mean, we all saw what happened on Eos.
I think Leela will look closely at Nasir and say, it's also possible that Ramon's resignation could have something to do with this. That's another misstep. Have you spoken to him? He may know something that we could use.
I contacted him immediately, and I'll pull up my slate. Has Ramon responded?
So I think you pull up your slate, and maybe you see that he responded as you were having this conversation. I think you see a message back that says, I just learned now, I'm fine. And then a second sort of, you know, text bubble that says, are you concerned?
Permission to call him in. And I'm looking to my colleagues.
He's our best source on Lillian Gale. He worked closely with her until a month ago. I think we need any information we can get at this point.
Yeah, Mara nods along.
I think Arno crosses his arms and says, fine, but the information from Sion stays with us.
Of course. And I'll call him. Like, okay. FaceTime, throw him up, bloop him up on the screen.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess my question is, where do we think he takes the call from? Because I think there might be some concern after the information that was revealed to him last session about him taking the call from his apartment.
I think that he has an apartment with a balcony that overlooks the either the park or some other, or like a market or some other space in the station. It has some sort of like massive view.
I think what you see then is maybe you're getting the connecting for a while. And then I think you see the video come on. Maybe he's kind of shutting the door out to the balcony. And I think maybe it's a very narrow balcony. It's almost just a space that you could stand out there. It might not be long enough to even put like a chair or anything. Because I think if there's one thing we know about Ascension Stations, that the the sort of width of this area is extremely limited, but I think it's overlooking the edge of the park and sort of the space where that transitions between the kind of sole green space or sole unused area on Ascension to a more busy street with sort of shops or markets or things like that. And I think we see him kind of slide the door shut, and then, and maybe he's speaking very quietly or kind of whispering into the slate. And he says, "Well, I see everyone's there. It looks like that answers my question."
"We're worried that this might impact proceedings with the summit. We're trying to determine who we think stands to gain if foul play is actually a part of this. And so far, leading theories include whoever the third person in line at the consulate was, Aiden Kiros and Reeve Kasarik. Also, various figures in the Republic who might be anti-Kiros's vision. We're not quite sure. We don't have a lot of information. And we were hoping you might be able to shed some light on who would want Lillian Gale out of the way."
I think he kind of leans into the slate and says, "Aren't we getting ahead of ourselves? Has there been any reason to think this is foul play?"
"For what it's worth, I agree with you, and I think we're going to move on relatively quickly. I just want to make sure that we are understanding the political ramifications. We've already issued a statement of condolence to her family and to the consulate. We've also made it clear that the summit is going to push on to squash these weird rumors. But we need to start planning our next moves, and we just want to make sure we're not missing anything."
"To answer your question, there are many people who might think they would gain from this, but I'm not sure that they'd be right. After the revelations at your press conference with Earth and Aventine on edge, anyone who comes to stand in her shoes is going to be aligned with Kiros's camp. Lillian Gale certainly was an ally, towed the party line, but I don't think that she was irreplaceable."
"Then we have very little to worry about."
I think he nods and says, "I'll try to reach out subtly, see if I can learn anything from people I trust. If you do learn anything, you'll tell me, right, Nasir?"
"Of course. Thank you for your help, Ramon."
I think he nods, and then you see the slate disconnect.
"I don't think we have anything else to worry about here until the press picks a villain."
I think Leela has been kind of contemplative, but I think at that she says, "We could wait for the media to select a villain, or we could help them choose one."
I think Mara's eyebrows shoot way up, and she says, "What do you have in mind?"
"All I mean to say is, we don't know who did this, but it could be useful for us to paint things in a certain light in advance of the summit. If we could make it look like Aiden Kiros is whacking off his own consul in an attempt to shore up power." Okay, I can take that again. Sorry.
"I'm glad I'm not the only child on this recording."
Sorry.
It's
sometimes
fine.
You gotta whack off your own console.
Okay, well, what the fuck else?
Whacking off is going onto the soundboard.
That's just really nice. Those are the job benefits you really they need.
Holy fuck! In the future, you get a sex allocation as part of your benefits package.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we've ended puritanical rule.
I think I want to just come... Sorry. I'm going to be honest, I forgot that was on the soundboard.
Okay. Does anyone have a suggestion for a different term I should use?
Bumping off.
Whack. Whack.
Yeah, just
jerking
whack
off.
Fine.
Is whacking. Oh. No, just whacking. Like, you don't have to say whack off.
Blowing.
Assassinating. Assassinating.
Okay.
Blowing away.
Killing okay. off.
All right. If we could paint things to make it seem like Aiden Kiros had to resort to killing off his own consul to shore up power, that could make him look weak before the conference. That could help us in positioning things.
Except we need Aiden Kiros to agree to whatever we propose. He's the authority on Aventine. Antagonizing Aiden Kiros is the last thing we want to do right now. our next mission is to find a way to get Aiden Kyros, Evelyn Lee, and the leaders of the Verge to agree on something. The last thing that I want to do is kick the hornet's nest.
I don't think it's necessarily kicking the hornet's nest, especially if it's true. I'm not saying we make something up whole cloth, but if the investigation is proceeding in a certain direction, it might benefit us to publicize it.
I stand by my assertion that I think this is a waste of our time and a distraction. I would rather spend our time coming to understand what the desires and needs of each of the delegates is going to be and finding a way to work with them rather than spending time working against Aiden Kyros. At this summit, Aiden Kyros isn't the enemy. None of these people are. We need to try to bring everyone to the table. Frankly, we need less of an investigator and more of a conciliator. And I'll like look very pointedly at Leela.
I think Leela is sitting back in her chair, and when she hears that last bit, she kind of smirks a little bit and says, "Well, I suppose I'm at your service."
I think hearing that, Arno just looks in his ear and says, "I think we need to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. I don't think it's wise for us to assume that this has no impact on us. You should not be distracted while trying to set up this summit, but I think we need to tug at the string a little bit more. I think I need to tug at the string a little bit more."
"You're welcome to do whatever you need, Arno. I just am going to stick to our priorities." And as I say that, I'm going to turn to like the projection, and the first thing that I'm going to throw up is a map of the Verge, like a star map. We need to discuss what we view as the major needs of various Verge planets who are coming to the table for the first time. And then I think there is like a little bit of a montage of like zoom in on like Lucina, and like stats pop up on the screen, and like you see like a bunch of photos with potential delegates, and it goes through like the sort of like shot where like time is passing, even though you're in the same room, and it's like clear it's like hours of slog.
Coffee cups, food wrappers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, we get slightly more disheveled.
Yeah. And you just like hear like occasional lines like, "Crop yield is down here. Mm-hmm. If we could," and then like you see like pointing, and like their lustre production is increased by, and like just mm-hmm. you hear like little like snippets of conversation, and then it's like, "And that leaves the delegates from the planets we visited. We're not entirely sure who it's going to be, though I think we can give our best guesses. We're likely going to need to map out in the next few days how we plan to approach this diplomatically. Who is best to make contact with some of our allies, and who we should avoid because we might have pissed them off." And I think I'll shoot a look at Arno when I say that. But even given all that, I think there's some pretty major outstanding questions. We need to make sure that we can determine whether or not Earth has devices beyond the one we've sent them. If we're trying to neutralize the devices in this summit, we need to actually know who has them. And right now, we don't know if Earth has them at all.
I think that's a fair question, and I'd love it if we could get an answer before the conference starts. But before we even get to the topic of the devices, we have to get everyone to agree on the terms of the armistice. And I'm kind of curious, what do we think the terms of the new armistice should be?
A fully transparent destruction of all weapons depots in the Verge.
Okay.
A commitment to the continued exploration of new colonies, planets, and sectors of the galaxy.
Really?
Nasir is dead serious.
Why?
I think that's the only reason we're out here.
I mean, why would we bring that up when we're struggling, to keep humanity together as it is? Why would we talk about spreading it out even more across more places?
Are you suggesting that we shutter up every planet in the Verge and move everyone back to Terra?
I suggest that that's not a priority for this summit.
I think I disagree with you, Arno. I think that we will have a difficult time convincing everyone to agree to rules and restrictions without any caveats for hope. The exploration of the Verge is something that we did collectively as a united humanity once. We should move back towards that.
If we're going to commit to new exploration, we'll have to ensure any new planets gain the same rights as those that have already been settled. We can't continue with the political interference that we saw on Satis.
We should suggest a framework for assumed independence or cooperative federation with the input of Verge leadership. I don't think Earth or Aventine will like that very much, but they're no longer the only ones at the table.
So I think Arno's heard what you're saying, and I think that, you know, I think you see a look of concern on his face more than anything else. So we're going to bring Aventine and Earth to the table with the rest of the Verge, claim that the rest of the Verge needs a seat at a table that they currently don't sit at, that we need to continue to expand to other planets. Aventine and Earth will give up whatever power they have right now, backed by all of the weapons they currently have at their disposal, and that this is one of our core priorities for this summit before we address all of the ways in which Aventine and Earth exclusively can blast each other and the rest of the Verge off the face of the galaxy, and that we are a hair trigger away from that happening right now.
The first thing Mara said was that we would disarm.
And the second thing that Mara said was that we need to have fewer restrictions. But then what's going to happen when separatists from a minor planet in the Verge decide that they want to go off and colonize somewhere else? That planet automatically gets their rights as well? There has to be a structure in place. There are going to be rules. There's going to be negotiations, and it's going to sideline everything else that we need to talk about.
And if you decide to bring that up in the conversation, you're going to shut us down before we even get started. There's no way to avoid the debate. We need to present a hopeful, unified vision for the future. If you don't want to talk about exploration, what would you propose as hope?
Isn't a unified humanity enough?
No. I think I'd like spit that back. I have believed in the dream of a unified humanity my entire life. And I was there when the idea of a unified humanity failed, and they blew up a refinery, and we went to war. And I was there when humanity ripped itself apart and didn't give a single damn about the dream of a unified humanity. We have to propose hope. And not everyone cares about a unified humanity. But they care about what a unified humanity can accomplish. So that's what we promise them.
Hope through further division? That's the proposal?
Hope through great achievement.
Why does self-government require division?
That was the most Aventine thing I have ever heard Leela say.
Thank you, I think.
Was it? I don't know.
I will raise an eyebrow all the way up.
Lieutenant Hines, the chaos of war is always going to be easier than a complicated peace. But that doesn't mean we should give up before we've even begun.
That genuinely took the wind out of my sails, just for the record, Michael the player.
And then I had because I got your ass. I fucking see you. Yeah.
I think at that, Arno lets out a slow exhale and looks at you and says, I hope I'm wrong. But the people that you are inviting to the table, some of them are like me.
You know, Arno, you're not wrong. And I think that brings us back to the question of the devices. We have to bring everyone to the table. How do we have a level negotiating field if one side has dozens of these Lestra destroying devices? I think she trails off.
My assertion is that we eliminate all of the LDDs, Lestra destroying devices, that Aventine currently has within the Nemirov Design Bureau. They will still have whatever LDDs they have scattered about the Verge, and if those become a larger problem, we can deal with them, but their cache should be destroyed. Earth is, it's difficult to tell. They, of course, designed the LDDs and attempted to deploy them. However, after the initial deployment, it seems as though they did not try again or were not successful. I'm not sure if that was because the outcome became detestable to whoever was in charge, or if they were unable to successfully engineer more devices. But at the very least, we know it would take them weeks to successfully deploy the devices in the Verge. For these reasons, I believe we should strike first at the Nemirov Design Bureau in secret, most effectively during the peace summit.
I think at that, Arno scoffs.
It would take several days to reach Aventine 2B. To do it in the midst of the summit, our absence would be noticed.
I'm not suggesting all of us. I volunteer.
I don't think it's possible for me to leave the summit and not be noticed.
That makes perfect sense.
I'd prefer to stay. I think I can do more good here.
That also makes sense. Arno?
Well, you need at least one person who's been to Aventine before.
It has crossed my mind. Do you believe this is the right course of action?
I think Arno leans back in his chair and says, can I answer your question with two questions?
Proceed.
In your opinion, would our actions on Aventine violate the new armistice?
We're not deploying a weapon. We're destroying a weapon.
And violating the sovereignty of a planet in the Verge. Are we violating the new armistice while it's still in the cradle?
Yes.
And secondly, are you ready to accept that by embarking on this mission, that the Minerva Project will no longer be viewed as a peaceful civilian operation, but one capable of military action?
Only by the people who know we did it.
Assume that everyone will find out. Are you prepared for that?
Yes. The risk is too great.
I'm just curious what Mara looks like. Does she just look businesslike, or is there any conflict in her face?
No, I think that her face is resolute. She's staring at Arno very intently.
If we successfully achieve a peace summit that reaffirms an armistice and a vote and disables the devices that have been destroying the Lustra, then I no longer see a need for the Minerva Project.
I agree.
If we successfully hold a peace summit that negotiates a new armistice, why would Aventine stay after we violate it so quickly?
I think Mara is suggesting that we use force in order to ensure they sign an armistice. Not that we violate the armistice after the fact.
Why not just declare war? They're ready for it.
If we destroy their devices, they no longer have the upper hand. Not in any meaningful way. And if they declare war, the Verge will fight back. Aventine will lose everything it wants. It would be wrong.
After the Republic rushes to the aid of the Verge, it would solidify a power structure and a dynamic that is very favorable to Earth.
The only advantage that Aventine truly has at this moment is these devices. And as long as it has them, there can be no peace. We need to determine if Earth has the devices. And then we need to disable all device caches that we can. Then, with everybody weak enough that a war is not in anyone's favor, we force them to the negotiation table.
The devices give Aventine an advantage only insofar as the war would be over very quickly. Dr. Belova, you saw what was on that asteroid. You know that they're more ready for a war than we are, and if they drag it out, they will outlast us.
At that point, Nasir starts to, I start to laugh. I said this on our first mission, Arno. You should not underestimate the people of the Verge. If Aventine decides to go to war, they will not suffer a tyrant. Aventine is prepared to fight Earth. It is not prepared to fight Earth and the Verge.
I think at that, Arno, like, actually laughs. Nasir, Aventine's not the one proposing the first strike. You think the Verge is going to look at Aventine as the tyrant in this situation?
Without question.
Why are you so concerned for our reputation? Why are we doing all of this? Why have we come out here? Why have we left our lives behind? We have given everything. We have successfully finished our mission as the Minerva Project. We know why Lustra is being eradicated. And we could do something to keep that from happening. Why are you so resistant? I don't give a damn about my reputation.
I asked you if you were prepared to accept what it meant for us to no longer be viewed as a peaceful civilian operation. And you said yes. And I don't believe you. Because every time you wear that jacket from now on, people will wonder how much blood was on it. And you carry that with you forever.
They made me a hero because I got my son killed. Do you really think there's anything else they can say that would hurt me?
They could say they don't trust you.
I lie to them every day. They shouldn't trust me. No one in the whole galaxy hates Nasir the way Nasir hates himself.
Just the meme of the guy pointing in the mirror like, you fucking idiot.
I guess in a world with no more heroes, where's their hope?
Amongst the stars.
So if that's the scene, what do we think happens next?
I think Lila's actually going to not move, maybe as other people start to trickle out. And she's going to kind of be tapping her fingers on the table. And I mean, maybe Mara and Arno head out first and Nasir is kind of the last one. But I think she calls out to him and says, Nasir, wait, do you have another moment?
I'll stop and wait.
You said something that was interesting. I think she'll continue and say, you said that if we can get this new armistice in place, then the mission of the Minerva Project is over. In some ways, I suppose that's true. Our outward mission, of course, would be accomplished. Our secret mission, though, we have an explanation for the anomalies, but we've uncovered something bigger, and I don't think it's right for us to end things here if we know there's a bigger threat on the horizon.
I think the death of Lillian Gale was foul play. I think that the labor dispute on Consus is a violation of basic humanity, or was. I think there is political malpractice on Satis. I think there is rampant criminality and poaching on Feronia, etc., etc., etc. The mission of the Minerva Project was not to solve every mystery, plot, or problem in the galaxy. It was to prevent the thing that could leave all of humanity separated forever, and that could start a war. I'm not saying there isn't some other mystery out there, Leela. I'm saying that if we avoid war, ensure the vote, and destroy the devices that were causing the anomalies, the Minerva Project has accomplished everything it set out to do, public and private. And everyone here is welcome to do whatever they'd like after that.
I think Leela stands up and starts pacing and says, "This isn't just another mystery. What is the good of getting a new armistice signed if we're all at risk anyway? I think we're on the cusp of accomplishing something huge, something bigger than the first armistice. But what if it's all for naught? I can't let this go."
"I'm not asking you to. I'm saying that right now, I have seen no evidence, literally none, that there is some greater threat out there."
"You've seen the ghost ship."
"One ship with replicable technology."
"Replicable, but more advanced than anything we were previously capable of."
"When Mara invented the Genesynth crop, humanity took a great leap forward. This ghost ship is a small step in comparison. I don't think Mara is an alien."
I think Leela rolls her eyes. "Mara was the CTO of one of the most prestigious and resourced technology companies humanity had. She was at the forefront of her field and did something amazing that was well-publicized, well-funded, and well-understood. No one knows where this ghost ship came from."
"And I think that's why it is a very, very noble and valid pursuit to find out where. I just don't think that's our responsibility."
I think Leela sighs and says, "I'm tired of you patronizing me. I don't need to know that it's noble or that it's worth investigating. I'm saying I think this is a bigger threat to humanity than a war between Aventine and Earth."
"You want me to stop patronizing you? Then stop claiming that I have to listen because you had a vision while performing an act that your own institution does not condone. You said yourself you were the first to do it. You want me to stop patronizing you? Show me one shred of evidence for what you're saying. I'm a believer, Leela. I have thought since the beginning that we were not alone in the galaxy. I have thrown myself across the stars on nothing more than a dream. You want me to stop patronizing you? Go out and find me some proof. I want to be sure that we are not going to compromise peace now. Our humanity and our galaxy now for something you think might be coming. And I trust you not to do that. I do. But don't tell me I'm patronizing you when the only thing you have offered me for why I need to fall in line is that you had a vision."
I think Leela stiffened at that tirade. And I think she says, "I'm not asking you to fall in line. I'm asking you to take me at my word, which, by the way, is what I did when you told me your husband was dead. I haven't given you any reason to doubt me. I know what I'm saying is not a standard experience, but I know what I'm doing. I am one of the top conciliators in the galaxy. So when I tell you that what I experienced was not another human and was not another alien species that we've ever encountered before, I'm not crazy."
"I don't think you're crazy. And I am taking you at your word. I think you experienced something. I think that you saw exactly what you think you saw. But how am I supposed to understand that, Leela? You're not asking me to believe that you had a vision. You're asking me to believe that there is a force out there that is coming for all of us.
I'm asking you to accept that it's a real possibility. And once we sign this armistice, once we ensure that the immediate threat of war is no longer on the table, then I intend to do everything I can to hunt them down and to prove that this is real.
I hope to be standing there when you do.
I think Leela kind of gives Nasir a hard look and says in a strained voice, I think she says, I would be honored if you would join me. And then I think she walks out of the room.
Hey everyone, it's Mo. Thank you so much for listening to World's Away. This game has been a blast to play and it has been wonderful to get to share the story with you. If you're enjoying World's Away so far, you can help us out by spreading the word to friends and family. And if they are starting to get annoyed with the fact that you keep talking about us, that's okay. That means you're doing it right. You can also support us by giving us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform where you listen to podcasts. And if you want to give us a shout out on social media, you can find us on most platforms at World's Away Pod or online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the episode.
At this point, I want to do a sort of montage of scenes, and I think this is taking place over the next few days after your meeting. To set the stage for this, I think we know that President Li will be coming to Ascension Station as a delegate for Earth, along with colleagues from the Council or from within her administration. We also know that Aventine will participate in some form, but otherwise they've been quiet about who will be representing them at the conference. The Verge is also sending delegates, or at least many of the planets we've seen have agreed to attend, but I think that process is proving a bit messy, and many places are trying to figure out how to pick a representative, even if their planet is divided about what should happen next in the Verge. And looming over all of this, I think the investigation to the death of Lillian Gale remains ongoing. And so as you wait for the first of the dignitaries to arrive at Ascension, what do we see the four of you doing over these next few days? And then once we know that, maybe we can play out a few scenes either before or after people start to arrive.
I mean, I think I'm just talking to the press as much as possible. I'm doing a bunch of interviews. You probably see some cuts of me like laughing it up with someone, like a somber look. Like it's every emotion under the book just to like push this thing.
I think Leela tends to try to gather as much information as she can before she meets people. So I think we see her kind of with like cue cards of reviewing all the different faces and all the different top facts about people, like where we think they stand. I think she's doing her homework.
I think Arno is studying the information that Scion provided. And there are two people I think he wants to meet with. One of them is Dr. Belova to plan out how to make use of this information. And I think the second one has to be Shaw.
Yeah, I was going to say even before Mike started talking that I think that Mara is juggling two big tasks. One, almost getting back into CTO role, like Leela was saying, kind of reviewing individual people who are going to show up and the pros and cons, what they're going to ask for, what we think they might want. But then also, I do think we need to paw through that information that Arno has to start getting the bones and more structure added to our plan of, I don't want to say attacking, a defensive strike against the Nemerov Design Bureau. So we're definitely, and that's taking place on the Valiant away from prying eyes. But we definitely have to start, crafting that plan.
Defensively, proactively bombing the Nemerov Design Bureau.
Peace through strength.
This is like when Mo played Moira in Overwatch and kept murdering people and said it was preventative healing. It's sort of bullshit, but...
facts.
Language.
So I do want to say I think it would be cute if maybe Leela and Mara are like trading cue cards then. And
oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Maybe they're not like studying in the same room, but maybe like they're like handing them off and they're like, okay, I did these 10. Here you go.
Yeah. Or like, oh, let me add one bullet point to like this stack here because I found it somewhere. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I guess what room is that meeting if Mara and Leela are kind of trading the cue cards? Where do we see you two doing that?
I picture the wardroom becomes our fortress for planning the peace summit. Okay. So we have like what I imagine kind of was like the futuristic version of the like strings and pictures on like a cork board.
Yeah.
And so we have that up somewhere and people may be filtering out at their leisure to add particular pieces of information. You know, like there's our potential and already sent out press briefings that we have a running list to make sure we don't forget those. Again, we have all of the factions and kind of like our thesis on each faction and what they're going to ask for each planet, you know, for the Verge. But it's becoming busy in there.
Can I add one small detail to that? Which is that on each person's like headshot or whatever it might be in the detail section over here, there's an assigned member of the Minerva Project who's like the primary point of contact if that exists. And the only one that has Arno's name on it is Katia LeClaire.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Oh no. I think you also get Mendoza if she shows.
The only one that has Arno's name on it is Katia LeClaire.
I think also, if I could add one thing,
no.
On one side, there's like a full scoreboard screen. It's like running projections because we don't know who the...
Is it? Oh my God, is it like a betting odds?
I was thinking it's like the seats of like the Senate map or whatever, and it shows like
yes,
the seats.
Exactly. And it's like if these, and it's running like scenarios of like, depending on which delegates people send, like it'll break this way or we'll get, we'll be able to get agreement on these issues. And it's like... As delegates get confirmed, variables get taken off the table.
It's like parsing and analyzing sentiment. Yeah, yeah.
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 Until eventually it'll just be like a sorting.
Yeah.
I love the board. And so I'm imagining that if there's these pictures of the potential delegates, are there kind of like question marks next to people or they don't, don't know if they're, okay.
No.
So I think maybe, you know, we see the camera's kind of panning over there and we see for Earth, we have like presently confirmed, we have... your kind of suspected attendees like Katia LeClaire and maybe some other people that we've met previously. Hermione Sling comes to mind. I think you have some question marks. And I think the two big ones that are maybe kind of at the center of your, you know, future conspiracy board is Aiden Kuros from Aventine and then also Reeve Kasarek. But I think kind of two things come in and maybe you have the news and various other screens running on, you know, sort of holo projecting into the room. And I think there's two things that happen at the same time. The first is, I think you get a notification that the first ship carrying attendees from Earth, so this is sort of the advance team for the Republic's delegation, is going to be arriving at Ascension within the hour. And the second is, on the news, you're seeing a report that, well, there's no confirmation as to who the actual delegates from Aventine will be. Their government has announced that Reeve Kasarek will not be a delegate. And I think that suggests to you that the hardliners are strengthening their grip there. And so I guess the first thing I want to know is there any like reaction or change that you make to your kind of conspiracy board? And second, how do you all react to this ship arriving? Does anyone go to attend that?
I think first, although she was kind of a question mark, they tried to kill her. So, yeah, we probably put her up there. But did we actually believe that she was back in the good graces of Aventine proper? I don't really think so.
I think the board that was cycling, like I said, that every time a fact gets confirmed, it changes.
Yeah.
So I think you just see like Reeve Kasarik's name along the top, get an X through it or like picture
like drop down
through it. Yeah.
And 0.01%.
All of a sudden, it runs through all of the scenarios, and the likelihood of achieving an armistice has dropped every single scenario that it ran.
This might be triggering for some people, but do we have a Steve Kornacki type who's running the board?
It's Cassandra.
It's Cassandra. Okay.
Amazing.
She's wearing the same khakis, but...
The likelihood of successful armistice has dropped by 10% in all scenarios.
Thank you, Cassandra.
And I definitely think that I'm going to go greet the Earth delegation. The Lee administration advance people, no question. That was my old job.
Yeah, that's your bread and butter, right?
Yeah.
Is anyone else going with Nasir, or what do we see from the rest of the crew here?
If it's for the Republic's delegation, I will go.
Okay. So Mara and Leela, are you kind of just staying behind in the wardroom then?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So Mike and Mo then, let me ask this. Where do we think the ship from the Republic is arriving on Ascension? Is it going to be in the Republic's kind of designated hangar, which is where the Valiant normally stays? Or do we think this is happening at the kind of main docks where we saw you first arrive on Ascension?
Oh, I think they come in through the main docks.
Okay. And what do we think it looks like as you're waiting? Is it kind of like airport waiting room, or kind of what's the vibe of where you're standing? You know, we described a kind of customs entry, but I'm wondering where you all are waiting for this.
I think in standard campaign fashion / wasting everybody's time who works for them already, that the Republic has started to put out a notice to everybody that works for the Republic on Ascension Station to gather and draw up a crowd to have like this warm welcome type situation to be like, oh, the Republic's being welcomed onto Ascension Station. People are excited. But it's really just a bunch of bored bureaucrats that are standing around being told that they had to like stop what they were doing to show up and pretend to look excited.
I have a question, which is like, is that for when President Lee shows up? Because this is the advance team. Right. So like are they doing that for the advance team?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they're doing it for both on this one. I think I think that like the Republic just wants to say like, oh, there's constant energy and like people are really excited for this and the Republic's all in and Ascension Station is abuzz with all this energy. But like, you know, that's just the message.
So you're all kind of standing at the end of the walkway that connects to the ship and are kind of waiting there for people to start venturing out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think if that's the case, what are Nasir and Arno looking like as they're in this, you know, maybe small to mid-sized crowd of not quite enthusiastic Republic bureaucrats?
Oh, I mean, I think I'm shaking people's hands. I think I've got my game face on. Like, I'm ready to work.
Yeah. And are you both wearing the jacket?
Yes.
I don't think that I have made a single public appearance where I'm not wearing my Minerva Project jacket.
Okay.
Can we say that we all got a couple jackets so we can launder them?
We have home uniform, away uniform, practice uniform. Yeah.
Throwback. So I think maybe the next shot then is we see the doors to this ship open. And maybe there's some sort of mist or fog from the difference in temperature, humidity. And at first slowly, and then I think faster, we see a trickle of people walking out from the door, and they're carrying kind of varying amounts of luggage. The first several people that walk through the door are ones that we don't recognize, but eventually we start to see a couple people that we've at least seen before on camera, even if your characters don't all recognize them. So as the crowd starts to thin, the first we see is a tall woman with dark skin and shortcut hair. And as she walks off the ship, she sort of pauses for a second as her eyes move around the room, almost dissecting it in her mind. And we recognize her as Mickey Adeyemi, who is Leela's mentor at the Sato Institute.
Fuck yeah.
But I don't think that either Arno or Nasir would recognize her. And I think we see her just walk past you heading into the station.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Is anyone with the Sato Institute entourage wearing anything that says Sato Institute?
Same question.
Same way they have a uniform. At all. Are you fucking kidding me?
A uniform, a briefcase, a luggage tag.
I'll turn that over to Haley. I have my suspicions about that, but I'll let her kind of narrate that.
I don't think that the Sato Institute does merch. That's very much not the vibe. I think if you were in her office or you know, if you looked at her metronome or whatever,
yeah,
you would be able to see that there's like a Sato Institute S on it or something. But I don't think that outwardly she is going to be wrapping her letters, so to speak.
I think that then the crowd is kind of really thinning out. But then the second person that we recognize that we see step through the door is a man with short gray hair, pale skin, and a sharp chin. And he walks off the ship without pausing, as though even if he doesn't routinely travel across the stars, he at least would want anyone watching to think that he does. And this man we recognize as Mar Elkin, President Lee's chief of staff and Nasir's handler within the administration. Does Nasir react in any way to this, or does he just kind of keep his cool and stand there?
I walk directly up to Mar with a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. And I think I brace him, like give a handshake the way that like the sort of like arm to arm, like bro hug.
Forearm, like a forearm handshake.
Yeah, forearm to forearm. Yeah. And like give him a big bro hug. Welcome to the Verge. I also think that I decidedly tried to slip into his pocket some anti-nausea pills. I happen to know whether or not Mar has traveled to the Verge.
Yeah.
And I don't think he has. So I think this is more of a, he's putting on a good show, but like in case he needs it.
That's so thoughtful.
I think he says, thank you, Nasir. But then I think he kind of catches your eye. And I think it's a look that you've seen before, and you can tell that he's looking to speak to you in private.
Allow me to introduce you briefly to my colleague on the Minerva project, Lieutenant Arno Hines.
Sir, and Arno extends a hand.
I think he sort of neatly takes it and says, Lieutenant, I've heard a lot about your service, sacrificed a lot for the Republic.
I think Arno just offers right and a nod and just doesn't break eye contact.
Arno, as I'm sure you know, despite the resolute face of our guest here, 2 weeks in the void can be taxing on anyone. I am going to get Ma situated. Would you mind greeting the rest of the delegates from Earth for me?
I think to that, Arno cocks an eyebrow, says, if you're sure that's what we want.
I think Nasir will pause.
I think Mar raises an eyebrow when you say that also.
I think I'll pause for a sec, step forward, straighten the shoulders on Arno's uniform and brush them off.
They were perfectly straight to begin with, for the record.
Bang my fiance.
I think you'll do great, Lieutenant. I also...
give him a kiss? Like, one more?
I think at this point... No. I think at this point, Arno has seen...
They fuck.
Nasir's face when he's like genuinely happy and has seen the way he handles the press a lot, right? Like, we've worked together a lot, like, and you were like there when I met the little alien that gave me the cactus, and you were there when we like saw new animals on Feronia, and I think Arno really would notice, because he's a very perceptive person, that Nasir's game face is still on, right? That he hasn't stopped being political for a second.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Arno's picking up what you're putting down.
So I think we see Nasir and Mar then sort of walk down the hallway toward the sort of main entrance hall and onto Ascension proper. And Arno, if you're staying behind, is there anyone that you're looking for specifically, or anyone that you're worried about seeing?
Rear Admiral Isabella Mendoza is the only person I could say that I would worry to see.
I was like, whoever Mike says he's worried about seeing is going to be the next person to walk out of the ship. So,
oh, wow. Funny that you say that.
So I think maybe we see Arna then looking at the door, maybe stiffly, and kind of studying the shapes as they walk through the door. And I think you see... maybe your heart sinks a little bit as you see an arm exposed that is the blue of the Republic uniform. But as it sort of is revealed, you see that this is a person far more junior in rank than Rear Admiral Isabella Mendoza. and they seem to be carrying some kind of briefcase or being a, you know, an attaché for someone else, and they walk onto the station.
I offer a salute as they're passing.
Yeah, they sharply return it. I think that maybe the last thing we see, though, is, and maybe we don't even get Arno's reaction to this, is we do see a face kind of sheepishly look out from the door. And I think this is who we recognize as Nolan Callahan.
Yeah, there he fucking is.
I do want to cut back to the Republic's kind of compound on Ascension. And I think maybe, Leela, you get a message that a visitor's asked for you.
I think Leela's going to, you know, she's going to raise her eyebrows at that because she was definitely not expecting anyone. But she just kind of shrugs her shoulders and makes her way over to, is it like outside of the ship?
Or? I think it's like it would be outside of the, you know, the ship is kind of in the hangar is connected to the Minerva Project building. And I think maybe it's in the sort of courtyard area outside of that that you were called to.
Okay.
And maybe at this point, I think we also see Nasir and Mar arriving. And where do you two go? Are you going into the Minerva Project building or somewhere else?
I mean, I think I would probably go, if there's like a private room, like one of those call rooms that Arno talked about, like diplomatic call rooms, I would probably take Mar into like a meeting room there.
Okay. So maybe we just see you trying to, you know, not make a scene and walking sort of to the side. But then I think we see, as the door opens and Leela emerges, I think we see Mickey walk up to you. And I don't really see Mickey as a hugger, but I think that we see her take your hand, Leela, and hold it between hers. And she says, I've missed you, Leela.
I think Leela will respond and grasp her hand back or whatever and just kind of still be a little bit surprised, but then kind of cover it up quickly and say, Mickey, I honestly should have expected you. I know you wouldn't miss something like this.
I think she just smiles and nods and then says, we should talk, catch up before the conference. I want to hear everything.
Absolutely. Let me take you to my cabin on the ship.
Leela, we see you and Mickey in an oval-shaped room, maybe 30 feet across on its longest side. The center of the room is filled by a small collection of small tables and large comfortable chairs, two of which you're sitting in. But the walls of the room are covered by tall wooden bookcases with three rolling ladders spaced along the room's circumference. Next to each of your chairs are two smaller bookshelves, maybe with two rows each and rising just a few feet off the ground. The one next to you, Leela, has a few books resting on it, ones that have remained after you've added or subtracted from it over the past several years. Mickey's, on the other hand, is filled to its edges, with several books even resting on top, along with a Newton's cradle that is slowly clicking away next to them. How does Leela look sitting in this library?
I think Leela actually looks a little more relaxed for the first time in quite a while. I think other than her own landscape, Mickey's landscape is one of the places that she's spent the most time. So I think in some ways it feels like coming home. And I think she is also appreciating kind of the ritual, the familiar ritual of, you know, entering the landscape itself during the indexing session and then finding her chair and, you know, sitting down next to Mickey.
So I think we hear Mickey say, this conference is going to be a challenge. When we negotiated the armistice, both sides had good reason to end the war. The president had made it a campaign promise and Aventine would finally guarantee its independence. And all of this, of course, was contrasted by a ongoing bloody alternative. Now I'm worried people have started to forget what the alternative to peace really looks like. That's going to be a challenge if we're asked to conciliate.
I think Leela has been listening intently, and she says, yes, I know the political climate is very different today, but I think the addition of the Verge changes the calculus. They're no longer a silent party here, and neither of the two powers can afford to push the Verge in the direction of their enemy. It will be a balancing act, but I think there's a way to make this work.
I think when you say that, she sort of folds her hands and leans in a little closer and says, well, officially, I'm only here as an advisor to the president, someone who can help her read the room if you're serving in a more neutral role at the summit. But given my work on the last armistice, I wouldn't be surprised if they need us to help break an impasse. With this many parties at the table, I think it's going to take both of us.
I think Leela grins a bit and says, it's been too long since we've worked together. This should be interesting. But I'm curious, do you have a read on how President Lee feels about this whole conference? I know we went a bit rogue by even calling for it.
She smiles and says, not much of one, though it's fair to say that nobody likes to be backed into a corner, even if it's one that may be advantageous for them. But, well, I'm sure that's something you already knew, Leela.
I think Leela just nods her head slowly.
Leela, if you don't mind me saying, you seem distracted by something. Something other than this conference. What's bothering you?
I think Leela's going to stiffen a bit, but also smile and say, you know me too well. I have a lot on my mind. Just some of the things we saw in these past few missions. But it's nothing that should take our focus from the conference.
I think she sort of mildly laughs and says, Leela, it's clear something's already taking your focus. Come on, what is it?
I suppose it doesn't hurt to ask. I had an experience.
I think when you say that, one of her brows kind of, it's very slight, but raises.
Have you ever encountered someone else in your landscape? Someone other than the subject of the session?
Is this something you've experienced recently?
I can't be certain. I don't even know how it's possible. It could just be a figment of my imagination, of course. And I think she sounds a bit strained.
I think she says, when you say that last part, Leela, you know your own mind. I don't think you'd be asking me this if it were a figment. But I think at that, she kind of stands up and walks to one of the shelves and takes a book off and kind of walks back to the chair and says, early in the Institute's history, practitioners hadn't fully developed the technique of indexing. The idea of expressions, the first precept, all of these things were still in their infancy. When we began first using the landscape, reaching out to the mind of another, it was all a lot less structured. Sometimes when a practitioner would interact with the subject's expression, they might leave something behind, sort of like ripples in a pond. Sometimes these ripples were reflections of the practitioner, but other times they saw something else.
So it could have been the remnants of someone else who was in her mind. And I think Leela is just kind of looking off into the distance, kind of deep in thought.
I think as you say that, she closes the book and says, "Perhaps, but Leela, you know what you saw, and you should have confidence in that. It's what makes you special here."
I think Leela is a bit, still sounds a bit far away, but she says, "But it'd be so much easier if I were wrong."
At this point, I want to cut to Mara. Where do we think we find her?
I don't think there's any real need for her to be in the lab since she's kind of done everything she needs in there. And so maybe the next logical place is the wardroom, but I actually think it's neither of those. I think she's taking a break in like the life support room.
Okay. On the Valiant, though?
Yeah.
And what is he? What do we see in there? What does it look like as she's sort of taking a break?
I think that maybe she enjoys taking breaks in there. So she's kind of lugged in a folding chair and maybe a small table. And I think she's probably just reading something on her slate. Still kind of working, right? So parsing through online sentiment, the future substacks and articles of The Verge, and trying to get a finger on the pulse.
So I think you're doing that. And do you think the door is closed or open?
Open.
Okay. In that case, I think you're interrupted by a quiet knock on the door frame.
And she'll look up.
And I think when you do, you see kind of poking his head in from the side, the face of Nolan Callahan, CEO of Genesynth.
I think she's kind of just sitting there blinking at him. And I think she says, "Nolan."
He smiles and says, "Mara, I brought something." And you see in his hands, there is a bag of what looks to be very expensive heirloom Ethiopian coffee, the kind of thing that would be grown by someone like your uncle rather than by your mother, Mara.
Mm-hmm.
Addict.
But then he says, "Don't worry, I got something for you too." And then he opens a bag and takes out a canister of generic breakfast blend coffee.
There we go.
I think she smiles and says, "Yes, I was about to be offended." So I think at that point, she'll start walking because the Mr. Coffee is still set up in the lab.
Yeah.
And I think so they're kind of doing maybe a small walk and talk while they get over there. I know it's not that far, but I think she'll start by saying, "I suppose I'll just bypass how you ended up here, how you ended up physically here on the Valiant."
And he just smiles.
"We can probably get straight to the point." And so she started grinding his coffee. I think he probably, when he sent the Mr. Coffee, also sent a grinder and maybe like a joke, like, "I know you'll never need this, but just in case."
Yeah.
And then as she's like grinding his very fancy beans, she opens the Folgers, closes her eyes, takes a huge whiff inward, and starts working on her potion.
Yeah. I think he says, "Mara, I know you were never one for small talk, but can't we just catch up? It's been months, right?"
"All right, we can catch up. I told you to send someone to fly the Markov, but I have received no updates. I don't care about the Monte Carlo. The Monte Carlo's fine."
And are these her, what are the,
So the hidden Markov is the Antonov 22.
Okay.
And the Monte Carlo is the, like the low Earth orbit speedboat situation that he purchased for her.
Yeah. They're fine. They're both fine. I took care of it. I think he's like laughing a bit and says, Mara, at the party we threw, you remember how completely, totally pissed you were. Honestly, I was worried you were going to show back up to work the next day and tell me you dropped out. And do you remember what I told you that night about the job here?
No. I was a bit frustrated at the time, if you recall.
I do. I think I said something like, it would just be a few months. It would be a publicity stunt. You would be back before you knew it.
Oh, yes. I recall now. Yes. Those were your words, were they not?
They were. Mara, I was wrong. You were right. And after the better part of 3 decades, maybe I should be used to that.
I am quite used to hearing it.
Mara, that creature on Feronia, that thing could have killed you. The people who shot at Sara could have been targeting you as well. You announced on a live broadcast that an Aventine warship attacked you. And then the next thing I hear, you're flying out to an outpost controlled by terrorists and under threat of an asteroid impact.
Well, they ended up just being harmless, dumb scientists. But yes, all of that is correct.
And now, just after you announce a peace summit, the Aventine consul winds up dead.
It hasn't been the publicity stunt that we both envisioned.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm sorry that I pushed you here, Mara. And back at Genesynth, we really need you. I mean, things are moving along, don't get me wrong. Maybe you'd say 10 to 15% more chaotic.
I allotted for that.
But without you there, it sort of feels like we've lost our mojo. Or at least I feel that way.
What are you getting at?
I know you have to do this one, see it through to the end. But after the conference, after getting a piece, you're coming back home, right?
I think that the coffee has been fixed and she's located like a second mug for Nolan. And I think she maybe like sits down in one of the chairs and says, it seems like everything has happened so fast. I haven't really thought about coming home. We've barely had time to think about a long-term strategy. It was one mission after another after another. I'd always assumed that we would finish out whatever tasks were required of us and I would return home. But now, with the summit and everything, it's unclear what the future of the universe will be.
I think when you say that, he kind of shakes his head and says, Mara, you know that you're so smart, so incredibly smart, but this one, I'm not sure that you're getting it. Before you joined Genesynth, we were finished. Our backers, the grants, everyone was pulling their funding. You were a last chance to solve the problem. One of the biggest challenges, frankly, science has ever known. But you did it. You fed the Verge. You made us a truly interstellar species. We were no longer bound to the planet we were born. And then you did it again and again and again. But I don't think it has to stop there. After all these years, I don't know where the limit is for us, for you, if there even is one. But if something happens to you out here, doing something so far outside your skills, something that someone else could have done, I mean, I don't know. Isn't that selfish?
I think she, like, nods deeply a few times. I would be very careful if I were you. I would be very careful with calling my motivations selfish. It tends to just make me more resolved.
I think he kind of actually smiles when you say that and kind of holds up his hands, like with a kind of, you know, again, he has this consistent boyish grin. And he says, look, Mara, at this point, I know better than to try to convince you of something once you have your mind made up. But I just don't want to see you. And I think he kind of trails off. And I think you notice that he's actually now kind of staring past you and to one of the desks in the research lab. And I think when you maybe instinctively turn to follow his gaze, you see that he's looking at a screen that has the news pulled up on it. And on the screen, we just see an anchor speaking directly to the camera. But the chyron across the lower third says, sources, death of Aventine consul to be ruled a homicide. And then we see a concerned look on his face as Nolan's gaze shifts to you.